Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Networks.
The Revolution with Warren McCartney is brought to you in part by Ron's Electric Motors, Commonwealth Bank, Marlin Marine, Laurel Fantasia, Fidelity Bank, Popeyes, Janae's Uniform Center, and Burger King.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. It is the eve of Independence Day in the Bahamas. And though we can't go on the beach tomorrow, we still have a lot to be proud of. And the irony, of course, slaps you in the face, but we still have a lot to be proud of. About the Bahamas, we got a lot of work left to do. We got a lot of shift in gears to make happen, but we've made significant progress in this nation since we started this experiment in 1973, 3 years before I was even born. We've done well in many things, and we've done some things poorly, and there are things we could do a lot better, but we got a lot to be proud about. Right, so I'm proud to be Bahamian. I'm happy. We're celebrating our Independence Day, and 47 years in is a perfect time to look at how far we've come and what all we have accomplished and what all we have left to do. All right, so in the past 47 years, we've done quite a bit of nation building. Independence was never meant to be the end of a destination. It signified a commencement of sorts, right? So it is the beginning of a journey, right? There was a journey toward independence. We became independent, and we said, now, despite the language that still leaves us subject to a monarch, we said, now we have the capacity to judge where we are going for ourselves. No governor will tell us, no queen will tell us, no king will tell us. We, the people, will decide what it is that we want. That's why our Constitution was set up the way it is. That's why our government was set up the way it is. Duly elected representatives go to our parliament, make laws in accordance with our Constitution to shape our destiny. It is we who have the capacity to shape our destiny. So when we became independent, it wasn't like, well, we've arrived, we're independent. No. When we became independent, we said, now our journey begins. Now our journey toward making the Bahamas what we Bahamians, no longer British subjects, want it to be, begins. And all the good and all the bad that comes with it is on us, right? So we borrow, we got to pay it back. We make laws that are unjust. They're subject to review by a court, although we still could talk about the Privy Council thing. And we could say, no, these laws are unjust. We don't like it. We want to change something in our original Constitution. The founding fathers put mechanisms in there to shift these things. We could decide tomorrow we no longer want to have this sort of democracy that we have. We could become a republic. We no longer want to have any ties to Britain, right? We could remain in the Commonwealth. We could not remain in the Commonwealth and still be a republic. We could change the way we elect our representatives. We could change the way our Senate is composed, we can change these things. We can change having a prime minister. We can change our destiny. And that was the gem of being independent, that we now shape this Bahamas. We have problems in the Bahamas. We have problems with crime. We have problems with income inequality and poverty. We have problems with illegal migration and all the complex set of issues that that brings about. We have extreme challenges in the Bahamas. Compounding that is the archipelagic nature of our nation. We are unique in the world. There are lots of Bahamians who are down on themselves. The Bahamas isn't this, the Bahamas isn't that. We got issues, no doubt. But the Bahamas is unique in the world, and we got a lot to be proud about. Per capita, we have the most Olympians of any small country. We export our vast talents to the world in the Bahamas. We have Bahamians who are working for NASA. We have Bahamians who are professors at Harvard University. We've expanded since independence, electrification throughout our entire nation. We have one of the highest penetrations of internet and access to cellular communication in the world. We have expanded the education system since the 1960s to include free primary and secondary school education for everyone who wants it. We're now expanding that to free preschool for everyone. We've broadened this to include free, just about free, tertiary education to all Bahamians. We still got some problems with children born in the Bahamas to foreign parents in that regard, but we're working on it. It was never meant to be perfect. It was always meant to be perfected. So do we have a perfect nation? Do we have anywhere close to it? No. But do we have, after 47 years, something that we can look at and be proud of and say, we can work with that? I submit we do. We have a nation where opportunity presents itself for many people, even though there are those who are locked out of opportunity. We can look around us and cite example after example of Bahamians who have, by their own ingenuity, by the nature of their hard work, achieved more than they had dreamed possible. We have a nation where we are able to make a living for ourselves, to feed our children, to raise our children, to invest in business. We have a lot to be proud of, but we still have a lot of work to do. I'm proud to be a Bahamian because we have beautiful beaches and the most beautiful water on the planet. I'm proud to be a Bahamian because we have such close proximity to delicacies from the ocean, lobster, conch, fish. I'm proud to be a Bahamian because we have Bahamian ingenuity in our culture, right? Our music, our art, that is distinct to us. I'm proud to be a Bahamian because we have things that when you hear them, when you see them, you say, that is Bahamian. I can recognize it anywhere. I'm proud to be a Bahamian because though we sometimes have selfish tendencies, we're a generous people. Though we can sometimes be insular, we're people who are welcoming. We're a people who have shared ideals about what we believe is right and wrong. We're people who believe in justice. We're a people who, for the most part, believe that everybody should be treated fairly and that people should have certain human rights. We're a people who have bought into a system that we think should lift everyone. And we're a people who are willing to work to have the nation that we want to see. We have people who are lazy. We have people who want the easy way out. We have people who are ignorant. We have people who are violent. But that does not describe us as a people as a whole. On the whole, Bahamians want to be able to work for a living, to earn what they get, to build what they want to have. We're people who like to see the world, but want to call the Bahamas our home, no matter how far widespread we are. So even though you can't go on the beach, even though we have a House of Assembly filled with politicians who don't seem to quite get what the Bahamas could be and should be, we still should be proud to have attained independence and of the strides we have made since our independence. So I'll be celebrating tomorrow. It will not probably be as robust a celebration as normal. There will be no rush out, Junkanoo rush out. There will be no ceremony on Clifford Park. There will be no partying, particularly on the beaches. There'll be no tattoo. But I don't think we need all that to remind us that we are a strong nation. And we are a nation that the world can look at and say they have made strides. If you take the snapshot from 1967, or let's go 73. If you take the snapshot from 1973 and you compare it to the snapshot today, there is no question whatsoever that we have had transformative change in this nation. Bungling leaders, corruption, ineptitude, political favoritism, all that, despite all that, there's no question that we have built institutions in this country that we can be proud of, and we have laid a solid foundation for the future to be built on. No question. There have been many issues, many problems, but as a whole, we've worked together to make the Bahamas somewhere sensible. Anyone from anywhere in the world can come to the Bahamas, and you would say, sure, I'm from Canada, I'm from Germany, I'm from Switzerland, I'm from Timbuktu, right? I'm from Ethiopia, I'm from China, I'm from South Korea, I'm from Latin America. Anyone from any of those countries can come to the Bahamas, and they can say, though it may not be like it is in your country, though we may not have the level of development, you can come here and live comfortably work comfortably, build a business, raise a family. So I'm not giving up on you yet. I look at the House of Assembly and a feeling of I'm like auditioning for other citizenships, that kind of washes over me. But I go, these guys, they don't epitomize what it is to be Bahamian. We may have sent them there to draft laws, to implement policy and kind of guide where we're going. But they are not the Bahamas. We are the Bahamas. If we don't like what they're doing, we'll have our opportunity to shift them out and move on. But it will never change who we are as a people. My family's been in this country for hundreds of years. At least 200 that I know about. 17th century. Yeah. Hundreds. And I'm proud of what we built. I'm proud of what we've done. I'm happy that there are enough of us who want to do the right thing, who want to shift the dial, who believe in empowerment, who believe in shared success. Enough of us who believe that we can each have the things we desire if we work for them without someone else having to suffer. So we had 47 years. And my hope and my prayer is 47 years from now, we can look at an independent Bahamas and note even more dramatic, transformative change. We got a lot of work left to do. We got to fix these issues with social inequality. We got to fix these issues with gender inequality. We got to fix these issues regarding to the byproduct of mass illegal migration. We got to fix it. This is the hard work that is required of those who would build the nation. God's not going to give you something if he doesn't intend for you to work, to keep it, to work, to build it. And so there is work to do in the Bahamas. We got to make sure that our family islands are more developed, given more consideration. We got to make sure that we are watching out for the least fortunate among us, that we protect our children, that we protect our elderly, and those who are vulnerable. I'm excited about the future of the Bahamas. I get discouraged when we wrap ourselves up in this political rhetoric, and that's what it is. But I'm excited about our future. I'm excited about the work left that I have to do. I'm excited about the work that my children will do and their children will do. And at the end of the day, this is ours. And how we shape it, how we craft it, how we move forward, depends on us. It depends on us. We don't like the political leaders, that's fine. We'll shift it, we'll change it, we'll get the message through to them somehow of what is acceptable and what is unacceptable. You have a beautiful country. Let no one tell you different. We are an amazing people, an exceptional people. Let no one tell you different. We got a lot of self-hate around here. But that's not going to solve anything. The best way to solve something is to acknowledge it and then work to fix it. So what we don't like about the Bahamas, we acknowledge and we work to fix. We're going to build it together. We're not going to surrender the obligation to work toward a better nation to just a few people. We're going to all do it together. Each and every one of us. That's the responsibility that we have that was passed on to us, not only from our founding fathers, but from the generations that came before, who fought and who worked for all this, all the indignity, all the suffering, right? All the blood, sweat, and tears. All that was so we could have this and we could shape it and we could determine our future, and that's what we're going to do. You can holler at me if you want. 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. 422-4796, that's the text line, 422-4796. After the news break, we're going to be talking with some young Bahamians. They, too, are part of the future. Going to help shape it. Going to have work to do. Let's go to the text line. What are you happy about? What are you proud of? As a Bahamian, you get so down on yourselves. You talk so bad about yourselves. I see Bahamians on social media. Oh, Bahamians are ignorant and stupid and lazy. And I'm like, but that's you. You're a Bahamian. That doesn't signify Bahamas. Lazy and stupid and ignorant. Far from it. Some people are lazy. And with them, we require that they work harder, that they contribute more. Some people are stupid. For them, we'll point out their stupid behavior and ask them to be more considerate, to think more critically. Some people are ignorant, perhaps many people. For them, we will educate them and help them to understand better. Ad Foline, good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Mr. McCartney, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Yeah, three quick points. Mr. McCartney, like you said, I've been playing places in the world, but tell you the truth, no place like the Bahamas, okay? No place like home. It's just some people just try and make it like a wee so outrageous, but everybody trying to come here. But Mr. McCartney, let me ask you a question. Who would you trust? You trust Dwayne Sands' word, or human man's word? Dwayne Sands said the beach is really basically the best place to be during the coronavirus outbreak. Who would you trust?
I trust Dwayne Sands.
I mean, let me be honest. I mean, Dwayne Sands is a serial liar too, to the court here, but you trust him more than this. Mr. McCartney.
I don't think Dwayne Sands is a serial liar, but okay, go ahead.
No, this is me. But I said that he was condemned by chief magistrate, okay? So once you condemn by the court, you know, that's a different story. But in terms of medical, Dwayne Sands and Prime Minister is no comparison. But no, Mr. McCartney.
Yep.
The bigger picture, right? You saw Brent Smith give human minutes and Diagla. I mean, treat the good boys.
Yeah.
But you know the bigger picture is, right?
The what?
You know the bigger picture is, right?
What's the bigger picture?
Well, you know the Simmage group trying to do a project in the Andes, right?
Yep.
All that right there is a strong arm tactic, okay? So Brent Smith playing people's emotions, but the bottom line, you saw how Brent Smith talked to the Prime Minister yesterday and a man, he opened his mouth.
Yeah, I did. He did open his mouth at one point to explain the restaurant closures. But yeah, I thought Brent Simonet was, I disagreed with him on the need for the extension of the emergency order, but I agreed with him on the restaurant closures as well as all the points he made about the beach and the tourists and all that.
No, but I mean, last point, right? I mean, like I said before, I mean, there's no medical reasons why the beach should be closed. I mean,
no,
tell you the truth, when people go to the beach, that's more privacy. You agree? Only family members stick together, right or wrong.
I mean, some people go to the beach and wild out, but I think we've, from my experience with the beach since it opened, people have been practicing social distancing.
Yeah, I mean, like I said before.
There's no reason for it, but I'm not going to tie myself in knots over the beach any longer. It is
what the Prime Minister is suffering from. What happened at Fish Lionel? Remember when the young man asked him to be drinking?
Well, actually, the young man didn't say that. He wrote a profuse apology to the Prime Minister, and the young man.
I mean, come on, the young man. Young man, how often be a torchbearer? You know, only six of
Who bowed real low in that apology.
Pardon me?
I said he bowed real low. He was touching the ground in that apology.
Yeah, I mean, come on, big man, bro. No, imagine a little kid. A nasty thing, right? You see all the Prime Minister disrespect young people? The young people are irresponsible.
Yeah,
that
yeah, yeah. I hope you know who the largest voting block of the electorate is.
Well, I believe the Prime Minister...
I hope he realized that.
Pardon me?
I say, I hope he realizes when he all young people, I hope he realizes who the largest voting block in the electorate is, you know?
Well, Mr. McCartney, last thing, right? Last thing. Your boy, Jeff Lloyd.
Mm-hmm.
Tell Jeff Lloyd, answer. We all know Jeff Lloyd. Me with Jeffrey. That was you, right?
Yes.
But tell Jeff Lloyd, answer the question about him giving his daughter or somebody a $500 grant money. Tell people who want to know what they can't get.
Sure, absolutely. Actually, I will, I'll help you with that. Jeff's daughter did not get a $500,000 grant from the university. So Jeff's youngest daughter is going to UB in the fall, right? She is a recipient of the tertiary grant program, all right? That's his daughter, all right?
Let me ask you a question, though.
Let me help you. Yeah, it's government, of course. The regular...
You mean Jeff is the minister, and the minister have an input?
No. Listen, Jeff, I'm trying to help you. You asked him to answer a question. I talked to him yesterday about this.
Okay.
He said his youngest daughter is going to UB as a freshman in the fall. She is the recipient of the same grant that every other UB student gets. Jeff has nothing to do with it. Jeff's first wife, he had a daughter with. I know her. I went to Junior Achievement with her. Her name is Aisha. Jeff and his first wife split apart. She got remarried, and his first wife had another daughter.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with Jeff. Listen to me. Jeff's first wife, other daughter, is a researcher at UB. She is getting a research grant that had nothing to do with Jeff. She is not related to Jeff.
No, but Mr. McCartney, I understand
what you're
saying,
right?
She is
Jeff's daughter's half-sister.
Mr. McCartney, I understand what you're saying perfectly clear, but to make a long story short, it's Jeff's daughter technically speaking, but the bottom line is, people call me and tell me they apply for the same grant and they couldn't get it. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, all right. Yeah, everyone would apply for a grant and not everyone's going to get it. I mean, that's just life. So, you asked me the answer and I spoke with Jeff about it yesterday and that's the answer. All right? This says, Sawan, Dr. Sands basically said that Dr. Minnis was talking foolishness yesterday about COVID-19 and that scientific medical evidence shows that the beach is low risk for COVID. Yeah, that's correct. That's exactly what Dwayne Sands said. So, and the Prime Minister offered no scientific evidence and said as much. I don't have any scientific evidence because we don't know what the science is going to bear out. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Also, I just want to clarify, don't call anyone a liar or a serial liar or anything like that just to get, your blows in. It's again, I remind you, it's not that kind of platform. If anyone's a liar, I'm happy to call them out on being a liar. If anyone's a serial liar, I'm happy to do so, but I'm going to make sure and demonstrate that so that we don't have any issues. But as far as Dwayne Sands is concerned, he is not any sort of serial liar. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Carly, did you know it's along with you?
Hey, man. How's it going?
I love your above monologue.
Thanks, man.
You intact. One thing I want you to help me with, I want you to deal with it. Okay, Brent from the daddy, right?
Mm-hmm.
The aragonite, right?
Mm-hmm.
He contracted that from before he died, right?
I have no earthly idea.
Okay, and I'm telling you.
Okay.
Right now, right, on the 6th of June, the Prime Minister renewed the contract. I don't think... Now, the thing is, I think, knowing that that's Crown Land, now, the Prime Minister is my boy and my friend.
What evidence... What contract was renewed and what evidence do you have of that? Didn't you just call me yesterday and say you don't want people to cut people off and you want people to be respectful and let them hear their views? So you're making a claim. You have to present some sort of evidence or some facts other than just that you understand that something was renewed.
May I say something?
Sure.
Campbell, I forgot his first name, mm-hmm. right? He heralded on ZNS last night, and I questioned him. Okay? He had run for the House of Assembly. He was trying to build a party at one time. Okay? He said Borrero are his cousin. And he spake of the different cities in the United States that it goes, the Aragonite goes to, and the price, it has different prices according to which city it goes to. Okay? Now, he was talking about that on the radio for some time. Okay, Philippa Russell's show. Okay? So what I want you to do your research. Okay?
Okay, I'll do that.
I'm not going to call you a liar, and I'm not going to talk foolishness on the radio. I'm not going to talk foolishness, period. I teach children, and I was doing that for years. I got children out there that are lawyers, police, nurses, and I still teach children today.
I gotcha. I got to run here. Maybe you could chop that down with Philippa Russell. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Good afternoon. Are you there? Turn your phone down. Turn your radio down for me, please. I'm good. How's it going?
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Go ahead.
Mr. McCartney, just like you, people on social media, when they start about him and people are stupid, lazy, and so forth and so on, you know what I tell them? I say, speak for you and your kids. Don't speak for the whole of the Bahamas. When you start that, speak for you and your kids.
Right. Speak for you and your house, right?
That's what I did to a lady this morning.
Don't speak on my behalf about Bahamians, because I'm Bahamian, and I'm awesome, right? So
thank you.
You know, so speak for you and the people you know and the people you mess with who are stupid and who are lazy. Speak for your people.
That's what I do, Mr. McGarty.
Not speak for
anyway,
me.
Have a nice day, sir.
All right, you take care. It says, hey, Juan, did the PM say anything about the lakes? No, go to the lake. Knock yourself out. Morning, Mr. PM, you want me to give you 3 days? Mr. PM, I only want 1 day. How about giving me Friday? What is 1 day, Mr. PM? I'm also disappointed the members of Parliament banging on the desk like a bunch of rude children. You guys were elected to defend the people of your constituency. Instead, you're busy kissing hip. When is the recall law coming? Many of you need to go, including the PM. Recall law is going to come. Never. Did you watch Desmond Bannister yesterday? He brought out the whole tub of lotion. He brought out the industrial size lotion, right? The good stuff. Just talked about how exceptional the Prime Minister. What the hell are you talking about? Just all lotion him down. Says, thank you for reminding us all of the reasons to love the Bahamas. I am proud to be a Bahamian. I just don't feel like I'm free, so I can't celebrate this independence. I love us, but I don't think we're free yet. We're getting there. We're going to work. We're going to go toward it, right? We're going to go toward being more free. This is disheartening, what our parliamentarians have allowed to happen for this 47th anniversary of independence. It's disheartening that we have people who will very easily surrender our democratic freedoms, but that won't last forever. Juan, people always say it happens under all governments, but this is the worst I've ever seen. The House and Senate praise themselves and a PM so much. This is the youngest and newest parliament since 67, but they have no vision and no fight. Listening to all this sucking up to menace is pathetic. It was pathetic, and when you look at this government, I want you to understand, this is the most inexperienced leadership we've ever had. Right? So it just is what it is. They're messing up, which is what you'd expect. It says people lotion you all day on your show, but I'm worthy of the lotion. So I have earned the lotioning. So the Prime Minister has not. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Mr. Carney. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. I'm pretty good, Mac. Mr. Carney, I want to ask you a question. If the virus come back and like how it was when it started earlier in the year, right?
Mm-hmm.
This order that the Prime Minister have, Would he have to go back to the Governor General and get another order, or what? Because he keeps on threatening us.
He got 6 months with this one. They can extend it up to 6 months. So far, they've only extended it to the end of July.
Okay, so when the 6 months up, what happened? He has to
technically
can't
this
use
is,
it no more.
No, this is a constitutional point of conflict that we have right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's one set of attorneys that say you cannot renew the state of emergency indefinitely for the same reason.
Right, that's what I understood.
And there are other attorneys who believe that the Constitution is not clear on that, and it is permissible to continue renewing the state of emergency for the same reason.
Okay, Mr. McCann, let me ask you something. We had experience Sunday night. How you feel you out for dinner? You're attending friends. You live in the Coral Harbor area. Your dinner party's out east. You're sitting down after the party. You're sitting down in conversation. You look at your watch, 9:30, and you say, oh, Jesus Christ.
You best go.
And you're trying to use the salty beach area, the back road, try and sneak home.
Right.
How you feel like as a grown man?
You feel like a little child.
You, man, reminds me when I was a little boy, when my mom would take my bike from me because I couldn't go. I didn't do what she asked me to do. Or if I go to Boys Brigade, I can't play on the park. I got to run back home. That's how I feel, man. I mean, like, when this thing coming to an end, man?
It's ridiculous. But I tell you what. I'm not going to let the actions of a few misguided leaders take from me my pride and love for the Bahamas. You're not going to rip that away from me. Right? So this country belongs to all of us. There's a global pandemic going on right now that is shifted the way we operate, but that will not last forever. The House of Assembly is bound by the Constitution, state of emergency or not, to dissolve at the end of a five-year period. We will have our opportunity to have our say, to have our assessment of what the government is doing and how we wish to move forward, pandemic or no. So, this is just a moment in the journey. This isn't the end of a journey. This isn't how it's always going to be. This is just a moment in time. How we deal with this moment, how we work through this moment, can either make us stronger and of better character, or it could break us. You can't break me. Only death can do that. No pandemic, no prime minister, no emergency order, no MP, no minister, no one. You cannot break me. No matter how hard you try, you can take things from me. You can do things to me. But my will, my spirit, my love for this country, my recognition of who I am and who we are, nothing you can do can take that away from me. We got to go to a break. We'll be back. You can let me know how you feel about the Bahamas as well on the other side.
Smart talk all day.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. You're listening to the Guardian News Network. I'm Taylor Ferguson. Here's the news at 1 o'clock. It is Thursday, July 9th, 2020. Thank you for tuning in. PLP Senator Dr. Michael Darvill says Prime Minister Dr. Hubert Minnis needs to be weaned off the emergency powers, insisting it's a threat to democracy.
He is abusing these powers And because he's abusing his powers, he does not deserve the right to use them. Madam President, it's critical that we start the process of weaning this government off the use of these emergency powers, because if we fail to do so, we stand the possibility of losing our civil liberties and endangering our democracy.
His strong remarks coming during debate Thursday on a resolution to approve the continuance of the COVID-19 emergency orders.
The behavior of our prime minister over the last few months is unacceptable and undemocratic. He has proven himself unwillingly to be accountable to the Bahamian people, the media, and yes, this parliament, with the powers bestowed upon him in the fight against COVID-19.
Darvill said the opposition cannot support the orders in their current form.
The request for 1 month, in our view, is too long. There is no reason why the government cannot come back to this parliament in a shorter period of time, provide full explanation to this House and the Bahamian people on the initial response to opening of our borders.
He also criticized government's testing protocols.
The truth of the matter is the data coming from the rest of our Caribbean neighbors prove that we are far behind in testing and need to ramp up testing in order to get ahead of this invisible enemy.
Well, Senator Darvill raising the alarm after he said the illegal migrant who tested positive for COVID-19 in Grand Bahama was processed at a government complex in Freeport.
Who was brought to the C.A. Smith building in Freeport for processing, along with what I understand, and I stand to be corrected, 29 other detainees. And this morning, some of the staff who work on the first floor of the C.A. Smith building are very concerned about their working environment and the fact that the area was not sanitized.
Health officials confirmed yesterday that one of the country's newest cases of COVID-19 is an undocumented migrant from Grand Bahama. We're told the 20-year-old male is currently in isolation. The second case is said to be a 33-year-old female of Grand Bahama with no history of travel. She is isolating at home. State Minister for Grand Bahama, Senator Kwesi Thompson, urging Grand Bahama residents to stay home.
This weekend, I know it's a holiday weekend, but stay home this weekend. Stay in your houses this weekend. If you don't have to travel, if you don't have to be up and about in the community, stay home.
Well, Attorney General Carl Bethel says while many are simply tired of the emergency orders, and although community spread has been arrested, there is still a need for the measures.
It's really simple, you know. Just because you arrest a suspected felon or criminal doesn't mean that you've killed him. Just because you've arrested the spread of a virus doesn't mean that you have eliminated it. It remains a grave threat. One person in a church service in South Korea infected over 300 people, causing their very first surge. One person going to a number of nightclubs in South Korea, after they had begun to reopen, infected hundreds more.
Bethel responded to those who question why existing laws can't be used to deal with COVID-19-related restrictions.
But the great difficulty is neither of these acts give power to make orders which apply to the general population. They are acts designed specifically to deal with the infected. Additionally, we now have a constitution, which we didn't have way back then when they were passed, which guarantees individual rights. No law passed by Parliament can take away any constitutionally guaranteed rights.
Well, the Ministry of Health announced Wednesday that effective immediately, all travelers will be required to complete an electronic Bahamas Health Visa application before departure from the place of embarkation and present a negative COVID-19 RT-PCR test with a sample taken within 10 days of arrival. Senator Kwesi Thompson reported today on how many of those applications have been submitted.
I think as of today, we have, and I'm just pulling the results, we have processed internationally, the system has processed internationally, 28,733 applications. There's been 16,054 applications, and that's just on the international side. That's not even the domestic side.
16,054 applications were created since the 1st of July opening. So, Madam President, I want to commend, and this is a group of Bahamians, who have come together and have been able to build this program and work together to be able to move forward with a very unique program, never happened before in the Bahamas, where we are asking everyone who travels into the Bahamas to apply, and we are also asking everyone who travels within the Bahamas to also apply for a domestic travel visa.
Former Minister of Health Dr. Dwayne Sands arguing that going to the beach may pose very little risk in terms of catching the virus. The beach ban on New Providence and Paradise Island and Grand Bahama goes into effect at 10 o'clock tonight and ends at 5 a.m. Monday. During his contribution in the House of Assembly Wednesday, Sands cited a report published by the Texas Medical Association, which ranked activities and their level of COVID risk from highest to lowest.
Going to the beach would be listed as moderate, low to moderate risk, or moderate risk, with a number of things that we do in the Bahamas, like working a week in an office building, swimming in a public pool, visiting elderly relatives or a friend at their home, eating in a restaurant, traveling by plane, playing basketball, or working out in a gym. All of these things are allowed a higher risk than going to the beach, provided that the appropriate social distancing and mask wearing when people are not in the water is maintained.
DeSant suggested the biggest risk to Bahamians may be our friends in the United States, where COVID-19 cases are surging. St. Anne's MP Brent Simonet says the Prime Minister's revamped explanation on why beaches on select family islands will be closed this weekend simply doesn't add up. Simonet questioned whether the beach closures are an indictment on the police ability to enforce emergency orders.
We've got police on every corner coming up Bay Street, 4 and 5 in every corner. There's no shops open. They're closed. We've gone and put red lines in banks where you shouldn't go across this area. So are we saying we cannot police the beaches? Is that what we're really saying? I hope not.
That is the news at 1 o'clock. I'm Taylor Ferguson. Thank you for tuning in. Stay tuned for updates on the hour. Have a great afternoon.
It's the beginning of the hurricane season, and Fidelity Bank is giving you one less thing to worry about. We're not able to control a storm or its path, but we can prepare for it as much as possible. With every debt consolidation loan, Fidelity is giving away fully loaded hurricane kits valued at $200 with all the hurricane essentials you'll need to weather the unexpected storms of life. It's that easy. Sign up for a debt consolidation loan, open an ASO savings or fixed deposit, and walk away with a free hurricane kit. At Fidelity, we're committed to helping you through these difficult times. Fidelity, we're good for you.
It's all about Popeyes and their amazing, unbeatable, everyday deal.
For $10.49,
choose the new boneless box or Louisiana box.
The new boneless box gives you two enjoyable boneless options with 6 juicy boneless wings, 2 crispy tenders, Cajun fries, a buttermilk biscuit, and a 21-ounce drink.
Crazy, right?
That's not all.
Grab the new $18.99 family box for dinner,
or simply bites with friends.
4-piece chicken,
4 tenders,
4 biscuits,
and a family fry.
Prices are VAT inclusive.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Beulah gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns? Where they hiding the drugs? Who shoot who? Who part of which gang? Or who disturbing the peace with a loud music and the motorcycles?
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas, and everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands, or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
Persons older than 60 years and those with underlying chronic conditions such as diabetes and high blood pressure are at higher risk of being infected by COVID-19. In nursing home facilities, COVID-19 can spread easily among seniors and the impact can be severe. Special care must be taken to make sure our seniors in nursing homes are safe. To protect these residents, no in-person visitors should be allowed at any nursing home facility. All healthcare workers should wear personal protective equipment, including gloves, masks, and gowns when they come into contact with nursing home residents. Frequent hand washing, especially when caring for several seniors and carrying out procedures, is recommended. Cleaning of frequently touched surfaces must be done consistently throughout the day. Healthcare workers and caregivers should stay at home if they are ill with respiratory symptoms such as coughing, runny nose, fever, or shortness of breath. If a nursing home resident becomes ill with respiratory symptoms, they should be properly masked, then isolated in a private room. The facility administrator should call the Ministry of Health Surveillance Unit immediately and follow their instructions. For more information, call 511, the call center at 502-7382, 502-7382. Visit www.bahamas.gov.bs/health or covid19.gov.bs or email us at covid19@bahamas.gov.bs.
This message brought to you by Bahamas Ministry of Health in conjunction with Guardian Radio.
The government of the Bahamas, in accordance with recommendations from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, has mandated that face masks be worn when persons leave their homes. This precaution can reduce the spread of COVID-19 in the community. The cloth face mask should fit the face snugly, but allow for comfortable breathing. The Ministry of Health also advises against the use of cloth face masks for persons who have trouble breathing or are unable to remove the mask themselves without assistance. To protect their safety, children less than 2 years old should not wear cloth face masks. This will cause them to suffocate. However, children 2 years and older can wear cloth face masks if they do not have difficulty breathing. Parents are requested to encourage their children to frequently wash or sanitize their hands and avoid touching the front of their mask while they are wearing it. Let's keep our children safe.
This message brought to you by Bahamas Ministry of Health in conjunction with Guardian Radio.
Physical distancing is an important preventative measure in the fight against COVID-19. Respiratory droplets travel from one person to another through sneezing, coughing, laughing, or simply talking. The risk of becoming infected from those droplets is reduced by staying 6 feet away from other persons at all times. Even shaking hands and touching our face is not recommended because we frequently touch surfaces that may be contaminated. Practice physical distancing at the workplace by having virtual meetings or conference calls, or communicate via email. Eat at your desk instead of in the cafeteria. You can even work from home. We must each do our part to stop the spread of COVID-19.
This message brought to you by Bahamas Ministry of Health in conjunction with Guardian Radio.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. We are talking about an independent Bahamas. we were talking about Dwayne Sands on the and the stuff about the beach very briefly. Well, I didn't introduce that topic, but someone else did. And we're also going to be talking about inequality, injustice, and the Bahamas' failure to include itself in the United Nations debate on race that occurred recently. To talk about that, I got two members of a group called The Unchaining, two young Bahamians, who I talked about earlier, will be part of guiding our future to a better place, to a more just and prosperous place. So joining me is Denzel Bazard, and joining me again is Aleya Hajigal.
Yes, you got it.
I got the first name right. Yes, exactly. Took me a minute, but I got it now. I got it. All right, so we are going to continue our conversation, and then in a moment we're going to break down the letter that The Unchaining has written and talk about the implications of it. So let's take a phone call, and then we'll do some text. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Good afternoon. Are you there?
McCartney?
Hi, hello.
Oh, yeah. Concerning this negativity about Bahamians being lazy, I mean, this got me personally offended. I've never been so offended in all my life because I don't see any negative thing about being a lazy person. And here's why. I don't believe in going on a construction site in the sun, lifting blocks, mixing mud. I believe in being in that office and getting their payroll straight. I don't believe in cutting my lawn. I would hire someone if it takes my last dollar to do so. I am not offended by anyone saying that I am lazy because I would agree with them. I am lazy. I would rather use my intellect to make money and my way in life, as opposed to using my brawn, my muscle.
Well, that doesn't denote laziness if you're using your mind instead of using your physical attributes to do something. It's just a different type of work.
But this is the thing that has me upset and bothered. A lot of people don't, or they cannot distinguish between the two. They would see someone in an office because they're sitting in a leather chair behind some sort of mahogany desk, pushing a pen all day inside AC. Everyone would think that, oh, that is lazy, according to the Bahamian mentality. Because if you're not out there in the sun, messing up your hands or dirtying up yourself, doing some sort of job a bulldozer should do, then you, according to the Bahamian mentality, are lazy. And this is what got me offended.
Okay, I gotcha. I could see that. I don't know. I'm not sure that that is what is characterized as laziness. Someone may look at that and say that may not be hard work, but I think laziness is when you don't commit yourself to the task at hand and you're not interested in completing it. So that's more what I would look at it as. This is Juan, you lotion and kiss Dr. Sands' butt, even though he bungled the Shane trial. Okay. You can, well, firstly, you know, have a care with my name there in your mouth, but you can go and Google this word, botched National Review. So I wrote extensively about the Frank, and it wasn't even the Shane Gibson trial Dr. Sands was involved with, by the way, so you don't even have your facts right. It was the Frank Smith trial. And Dr. Sands was a witness, and he had contact with the main witness, which was Barbara Hanna and her son. And if you Google botched National Review, you will see that I extensively wrote about the facts of the trial, and I said that both Dr. Dwayne Sands and Marvin Dames were wrong in how they conducted themselves and that they should have known better. All right, so you could, you know, if you want to play with my name, like, get your facts right, at least. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Big brother, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, 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 good. Happy holidays to you. Happy independence. You see, I look at the future from within myself, not taking negative things on my shoulder. Let it roll off your shoulder. And when it falls to the ground, you pat it down. Whatever hole they're trying to put us in, we can be okay. But while I call to say this, because you're talking about the beaches some major conversation was made why the beaches were not allowed. The Bahamian people are not allowed to use the beaches on the time when they normally use it, and they only like to use it when holiday time comes. This is serious time. Now, on the other hand, I'm not going to take side. My business is on the beach, renting umbrellas, and so I'm affected. I have been affected, is being affected, and until this thing stops, we'll be affected. But I need the Bahamian people to just stay focused. You know, our health is more important than wealth, because if we get sick, you got the little, you then don't have no money. Where we can get the money from? So, you know, let us, only six months, I'm on the side of the lawyers who know the Constitution, not these jokers who just come around, who know this Constitution, who study the wording of the Constitution. Only 6 months after that, and with, even within that 6 months, provisions have to be made for every Bahamian who are alive. You can't just, the Constitution said provisions. All you have to pass laws to cause them to go and make the provisions for themselves. Full stop. 6 months. Y'all have a happy independence. Happy. Be safe, everybody. Don't not, you know, go home and drink.
Go home. And, well, I'm going to take your advice, Amos. I'm going to go home and drink. Well said. That is exactly what I'm going to go do. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Ron. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Your buddy Bonks and Castle, yeah, man.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Everything cool. Listen, Juan, could the Bahamian people sign a petition to present to the Governor General to not extend this curfew and lockdown order to the end of July period?
You could do anything you want to that effect. Will he listen is the next thing.
Yeah, the reason why I'm saying that is because the competent authority, the Prime Minister, has yet to present any scientific or clerical or medical reason why we are in lockdown the way it is, because he has already opened our borders. Because you can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't have the borders open and at the same time you're saying it's danger to our health by us doing certain things, and at a certain time that we can't be, because what you're doing is entrenching on our civil liberties. Either
yes.
You're going to open the borders and lift the lockdown, or you're going to close the borders and let the lockdown remain. You can't wait. I mean, I don't understand this, though.
Yeah, you're not alone. I don't. Yeah, I don't either.
Why aren't our astute lawyers in this country challenging this thing that's going on?
They told me they were going to, but I don't see nobody challenging anything.
After the lockdown?
Yeah, exactly. Right. Later on. It doesn't make sense. They should do it now.
Anyway, buddy, you have a nice day. And, you know, do I love the Bahamas? I've traveled around the world. And the Bahamas, this is the best little country in the world. You know what I like about the Bahamas? You know what most tourists say about the Bahamas? Our people are friendly, okay? They're not just coming for sun, and sea. So in the main term, while we are in this lockdown, I hope the tourism board is notifying those tourists that are about to come in that we are still in lockdown state, okay? So they can know some of the privilege that they normally have. They won't be able to carry out.
Well, I think that, yeah, that, or at least tell them, like, what they have a curfew and all this other stuff like that.
Exactly. Because,
so they can make an informed decision.
They're not going to come to country within a lockdown, and they can go have the funds that they want to do and stuff like that. And one more thing I want to say to you.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like coronavirus is coming to visit the Bahamas this weekend, and first thing Monday morning, it'll be gone. Because,
right. Yeah.
You know, the beaches are closed, but what about the docks? Places like those.
No, it's only going to the beach. So
okay.
It's not going to the churches or the gyms or the restaurants or the bars. Just the beach. That's where COVID lives. Give me 1 minute. We're going to talk to Alea about the letter, which I was reading yesterday. It's quite, it ties into the whole theme of what I was talking about today, which is the future of our nation and the things we need to correct. That we're happy with a lot of the things that we have achieved so far, but there are many things we need to correct and change. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be real with you. I am running out of energy here, right? So it's going to be up to you and this young man here and others like you guys to really pick up the baton and go ahead and do the work and fix these things that need changing. And a lot of it involves education. Mm-hmm. Let's go to a phone call quickly. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Yes, good afternoon, Mrs. Gardney.
Hey, what's happening, my brother?
Yeah, and your guests, the young people?
Hi.
Yeah, I love them. You know, we love the young. Mr. McCartney, you know, a couple of days ago, I think, when I tell you, he's afraid, you laugh, right? And then you came and said the same thing just yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I called, but of course, you had a great monologue. And so it seems to me if you have some haters, you say people are always pumping you, but you just be hitting the nail on the head. But let me get ahead here. As a collective, I thought the people, you know, I read somewhere in the Constitution, I thought the collective should be able to bypass or just rebuff any law that's implemented. And so the fact that this Emergency Powers Act was implemented without the public's input, that is to me is unconstitutional. I just can't see it. You bypass the Constitution to overcome the Constitution?
Well, I mean, I don't think they bypass the Constitution. The Constitution allows
suspended.
Them to do it. Yeah. And it suspends certain rights that we have.
But I'm saying is, you know, I don't know the legalities. I'm not a lawyer. But what I'm saying is, I do read a lot. What I'm saying is, but how is that possible? You suspend the Constitution, but you're saying it's unconstitutional, but you have a specified period of time. I listen to you guys, but here's what I wanted to get on. These issues, the last issue with the immigrant COVID, all this is a matter of national security and health care, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm looking at this. Dr. Sands was sincere his information. You know, we do have viruses that live in seawater in areas that are exposed to sewage. You have the adenoviruses, hepatitis viruses, Norwick viruses, rotaviruses, et cetera, et cetera. The viruses do exist in salt water. And so we have had the cruise ship dumping in our waters, but they wasn't telling us to stay out of the water then. And I just was doing some studying on this virus. Viruses do exist in salt water, but the cruise ship are infamous for dumping fecal matter. And all of these viruses are enteric. That means they enter through the stomach and through fecal matter. And this is what exists in our waters. We haven't had that study, but the fear-mongering that you said that I thought Dr. Minnis was doing, I thought it was just that. And that's exactly what I saw. You were talking about COVID patients, people dying. We don't hear, my mom, Mr. McCartney, that's not based on science, man. The stress that he's causing the human people, the stress, environmental stress, stress in itself causes cell death. And that's what he's subjecting the human people to. You understand me, my brother?
I got you.
Have a good day. All right.
Have a happy independence. It says, Juan, after a month of dictatorship, you're still talking about a republic with a president. You must be joking. Okay.
A man can dream.
Right. That would be. Says Juan, people are disenfranchised. Acknowledgement of our issues is futile when we are limited to in our ability to affect real change. Your message is cool and all, but your lenses are very different from average folk. The time for passive acceptance is over. The change we need requires brute force. Stay tuned. I gotcha. Don't do nothing crazy now.
I mean, somebody had a very peaceful protest yesterday, and they were swiftly arrested.
Mm-hmm. Lock him up. I think he was on government house grounds.
Oh, yeah, he was.
Hey, Juan, can we be independent with the queen as our head of state? We still carry the last names of our slave masters, and we're not even trying to rid ourselves of the system they built. Well,
yes.
Which last name are you going to take? Do you know the names of your ancestors?
I wish we did.
We do not.
All right, but we can be independent. We can remove the queen as our head of state. That's the power independence gave us. So we don't have to have her there. It says, I'm proud that though we have much work to do, we still have a bright future once we're honest, thoughtful, and progressive in our thinking. Absolutely.
Yes.
It says, thank you for reminding us all of the reasons to love the Bahamas. I'm proud to be a Bahamian. I just don't feel like I'm free, so I can't celebrate this independence. I love us, but I don't think we're free yet.
Mm-hmm.
I think I read that already. This says, Juan, we may want to reshape our country for the better future, but these cronies in charge are only interested in reshaping their bank accounts. Very sad. Happy independence, brother. All right. So the COVID-19 beach breakout in Florida is false, according to Sands' research. Okay. Love your monologue, Juan. Please continue on. No, I mean, that's not what Sands is saying. He's just saying the Texas Medical Institute says it's a low to moderate risk to get it on the beach. Mm-hmm. Nah, when all the knuckleheads in Florida come mouth-breathing
right?
all over each other, next to each other, then it becomes high risk. But if you're on the beach and you stay in your social distance away from people, it's hard to catch it. Juan, question, did you get your invite to the PM's pool party tomorrow? If not, I think Howard hid your invite. Pool party. I highly doubt I'm invited to a pool party at the Prime Minister's residence tomorrow. Hey, Juan, since the strip clubs are still closed, do you think we're allowed to... Go do what you want this weekend. I'm not in your business. Juan, the PM should not talk about giving him 3 days when there are people waiting 60 to 90 days for the first NIB payment. Fair enough. Says, is the march still on for tomorrow? I don't know. You'd have to go ask Adrian Francis about the march. Would I be arrested if I go to the lake tomorrow? They didn't say anything about lakes. However, it may be that our lakes are included in the public park system, so then technically they would be off limits. This says, morning, I love my Bahamas to the moon and back. I have nowhere else to be. Best place in the world. I am a nationalist. Absolutely. It says, please tell us who's intentionally trying to break the will of the Bahamian people. I'm not sure to what you're referring. Did I say that? This is, what is the why is the Prime Minister's cabinet behavior so foolish, as though they must abuse power? We, the Bahamian people, gave them the power. That's right. And we get the power to snatch it back. One, are the stores open over the holiday weekend? I don't see any reason why they wouldn't be. Says Juan, when I heard another Boswick was coming to the Senate, I had mixed feelings, but I anticipated a progressive debate. But she is more about bringing up the PLP. I have not listened to Lisa Boswick, I assume you're talking about, her contribution. It says, hello, Juan, please investigate the challenges tourists face when trying to travel to our country. It is being reported that the continuous changes of the COVID-19 requirements are causing great inconvenience. One day the requirement is the test cannot be more than 10 days for travel date, then it went to 6 days, then... not finished. Okay, people are getting inconvenienced. Barbados is opening its borders, I believe, next week, or it may have been this week.
Really?
And Barbados requires you to have a COVID-19 negative test taken within 72 hours of coming to the country, which is a little tighter window than our 10
days. See what happens when you have a woman leader? Anyways.
Yeah, the female leaders have been doing well.
Don't
absolutely
mind me, just...
In the COVID-19 struggle.
They have.
Yeah, I think... I'd like to see a competent, qualified female leader of the Bahamas sooner rather than later. And people go, well, why does it matter? It should just be the best person for the job or whatever like this. And I'll say it like this, and this isn't an apples-to-apples thing, but my wife and I had a child, right? And we had a son, and I love him, and he's awesome. But he has a particular type of energy and focus and things. Hormones are driving him to be a certain way and do certain things. And we were going to have a second child, and I was like, well, what do you want? She was like, well, I'd like two boys. And I go, well, I want a girl. You know what I mean? Because I want to have a balance to that boy energy, right? And so I think that a female leader brings a different sort of sensibility, a different sort of energy, perhaps a different set of priorities than a male leader would. And as long as she is qualified and competent, I am perfectly happy and willing to vote for a female prime minister of the Bahamas, although we don't vote for prime minister. Okay, let's talk about the unchaining and the letter that it has issued. So I'm going to let you read the letter, and then let's talk about it.
Do you want to read it, or shall I?
Go ahead.
Oh, boy. Okay. Silence is symbolic. Typically, it is used to convey an abstinence from speech or an event. In our country's case, the Bahamas' notable absence from the United Nations debate on systemic racism and human rights violations signifies that despite our sovereignty, we remain under the heel of white supremacy. Led by 50 African nations, this urgent forum was an opportunity for our representatives to stand in solidarity with the black populace worldwide against racism and the persecution of black people. But instead, their vacancy, followed by a blithe statement, emphasized their non-alignment and disinterest in an equitable society. This eagerness to remain non-committal during racial and economic unrest is a disappointing yet predictable consequence of colonialism and an asymmetrical relationship with the United States. It's not as if the Bahamas has not led on these issues before. In 1985, during the Commonwealth Heads of Government meeting in Nassau, Bahamian leadership argued against the coddling of South African government and its apartheid regime by the United States and the United Kingdom. Through Bahamian leadership, the Commonwealth Agreement on South Africa, also known as the Nassau Accord, was signed. It was our then Prime Minister's passion and eloquence that inspired unanimous agreement among Commonwealth heads of government to level sanctions against South Africa in response to its government's brutal racism. Indeed, it was not our mighty army or strong economy that realized this historic blow against the institutions of white supremacy. It was our voice. The Bahamas' silence on this crucial issue illustrates not only a disregard for the plight of the plight of black people globally, but toward its own people, who are disenfranchised within these shores. The economic, environmental, and societal obstacles we face are a direct consequence of colonialism and manifest today in gross and growing inequity, especially compared to those who derive their privilege from the legacy of the white oligarchy or who have come to our shores as expatriates. We, the Bahamian people, are tired of the inequality and inequity that plagues our shores. Since our enslaved ancestors set foot on these islands, the Bahamas has continuously disenfranchised its citizenry. The racist, segregationist policies that came to define socioeconomic status at the turn of the last century, the recruitment of Nazi economist Hjalmar Staat to create the plantation-style tourism model we use today, the paltry minimum wage in comparison to the Bahamas' rank of sixth in the countries with the highest cost of living, the intentional mistreatment of Abaconians and Grand Bahamians after Hurricane Dorian, to the recent firings of 32 junior doctors. Further, we do not have to look to our ally in the West to view police brutality, as our country has instances of its own. As Independence Day approaches, we must look back at our history and remember Sir Lyndon Pinling, whose throwing of the mace not only symbolized the passion of the Bahamian people, but a rejection of white supremacy and inequality. We must decide if we will continue to sit idly by as our beautiful nation remains a playground for the wealthy white expatriates and their local counterparts who experience a Bahamas unlike the majority have ever seen. We demand the tabling and implementation of economic, educational, and criminal justice reform that will ensure an equitable society for Bahamians locally and future graduates returning home. We are a group of Bahamian intergenerational activists striving for a better Bahamas, inclusive of race, gender, sexual orientation, and religion. Our power as a people is, and will always be, far greater than the people in power. We are the Enchaining. Expect us.
All right. That is a powerful statement, and it encapsulates a lot of what I was referring to earlier as the things we need to fix, right? Mm-hmm. So we've done a good job so far in terms of the institutions perhaps that we've built, but we've let a lot of things slide. And for 47 years, most of us have tried to rectify a lot of these things, but a lot of us have remained indifferent toward them. So you guys are both in your 20s.
Yes.
And you're the next generation, essentially, of Bahamians. So we heard the Prime Minister yesterday, and I don't think it encapsulates his entire feeling about the youth of the country, but we heard a lot of chastising of the youth and a lot of characterizing the young people of our country as irresponsible and unable to govern themselves if given the opportunity to act as though they want. I was offended for young people in the country. I also thought the Prime Minister kind of painted himself as a complete geek in that he had to go take a nap before he went partying. That's weak sauce. PM when I was in college, I could stay up for days and go party and go to class and go to work. You had to take a nap. I find that sad. But again, the young people of this country, you can call them irresponsible, you can call them whatever you want, but the fact of the matter is that they are the ones who are going to have to move the country forward. I find it strange that men and women in their 60s and 70s still have such sway over so much of our national affairs, when the fact of the matter is we work so hard, work so hard to build this nation and to have these institutions so our children could receive education and go around the world and get qualified and get best practices, but they so often neglect young people, and they neglect the input of young people. They got Travis Robinson there, like, you know, their cheerleader.
Just a sitting duck.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, look at Travis won over there. Yeah. So
Travis has basically just been a mascot for them.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. he tried to vote against him the other day and almost got fired from his job.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you have to understand, he basically is just a talking piece for them, for young people. That's a game.
And I mean,
I wouldn't even
irony,
say talking
though.
Piece, because it's not even a talking piece. Just a mascot for them mm-hmm. to get youth votes.
So and as young people, do you feel as though you're represented in the national affairs of the country?
No. We're treated poorly. Our demands, our requests are always constantly ignored. And further, the irony of the prime minister saying to young people that we're the ones who are pretty much going to spread it around if we're not careful, and yet you're opening up the borders to people who are literally banned from Europe. They are the epicenter of this virus, and there are countless videos of their citizenry literally licking doors and spitting on people and coughing on people because they're entitled, and they feel entitled to other space, and they don't want to wear a mask because somehow it infringes upon their rights, which is the right to care about people. So,
yeah. So you're talking about, you're saying in your letter that you are demanding that they address these issues. So
yes.
Income inequality being one of the biggest issues in the Bahamas, which yes. we saw in stark, we saw it just ripped away the veil, and we saw it in all its ugly nakedness of how some people are so close to destitution and starvation in a country that has such abundance of money, you know? So how do we go about addressing these issues? How do we go about having a more equitable, more fair system? And it can't be that we wait for all the old ideas, the people with the old ideas to die out. No. We don't have time for all that.
No.
So how do we go about instituting change?
Well, we brainstormed and we thought of economic and educational reform as well as criminal justice reform as three major things that can be fixed. And I mean, this is a pretty urgent time, and it's not like it can't be done. I mean, Thomas Sankara, who was one of the leaders of Burkina Faso, he raised their literacy rate and allowed them to have vaccinations and focused on women's rights and equality. And he did all of that and lifted their nation in a period of 4 years, if not less than 4 years. So why can't it be done with us? And we're very capable. We've been capable. Our ancestors were capable, and that's where we are today. So for economic reform, we have raising the minimum wage. This will be over a period because we have the sixth highest cost of living, and we also have VAT, and the minimum wage hasn't been increased to accommodate these things. It's as though they really want people who are working to suffer and to work multiple jobs while supporting multiple members of their family. So these are people who are working two to three to four jobs to support a family of like five or six or seven. So additionally, we have the diversification of our economy. So agriculture, nationalizing natural resources, manufacturing, and then changing the tourism style from plantation. And then we also have equal access to jobs for Black Bahamians, because we all know we don't have that. And we have a brain drain as well, where our students are coming back and then they're being told they're overqualified, or if they're if they get the job, they're not even paid what they're supposed to be paid. So they feel as though they need to go over in order to be valued. So we don't value our graduates. We don't value people who have taken the time and the effort to actually study what they want to do better by this country. And then we have the use of Bahamian economists for consultation rather than the Christian Council. We were talking about the Christian Council the other day, and when I looked them up, I found that there were articles where Mr. Fernander was giving his opinion on the economy. What does this man offer besides like a prayer?
That's not new to the country, though. We always have people who are speaking in areas that they aren't qualified in at all.
Ooh.
That's basically that's the basis of our political system.
Right.
Like I feel like, and particularly when I was your age and I went off to school, well, I was 17 when I went to school, but when I was your age and I was still working and studying in the States, I had in my head that the older generation was back in the Bahamas, like making a space for me, creating a place for me to come and like be productive and be proactive. And I realized when I came back that no one was doing that. And I had to go fight for it and carve it out myself, which I don't mind doing.
Yep.
But I was kind of sold this dream that, we're over here working, we're over here making it happen, man. So when you come back, it's, you know what I mean? There's all this opportunity and there's a place for you and all this stuff. And then you come back and you're like, oh my God, there's nothing. They want to hang on to it. Now, I'm going to rewalk you through my evolving analogy, of what we're doing it, right? And I call it the Viagra theory, right? So bear with me, right? I want you to bear with me.
Okay. Okay, go ahead.
I'm going to do this briefly. I had a longer breakdown before, but I'll do it briefly, right? So there used to be a point at which men, after a certain point in their lives, they, if you're a young man, right, usually you're like, I want to attract people to me, and so I'm working hard for a certain reason. I want to find a good woman, and da-da-da-da-da-da.
I'm sorry you're listening to this, Mom.
And you build this? Sorry, Mom. She knows what I'm talking about. And so you keep pushing and pushing and pushing. And then after a certain point, you're a man, and you go, oh, man, I'm tired. I'm looking at my retirement. I can't, you know, I'm not wiling out like I used to be and all this stuff like that. And so you kind of tamp it down, and you make room for the other people. Then Viagra came out, right? Then everyone who was like 60 and over, they could still go run around and tamp it down and go chase this paper and chase women and all this stuff like that. And so they keep holding on to power because it attracts all these things. And I think that's why they hold on to power. And so Viagra did this to us. It continues this thing where these older guys want to grasp on to power because they still got it going on, and they made no room for younger people. Right? Mm-hmm. They just pay lip service to it. Like Christie was like, oh yeah, bridge to the future, and then wants to run again as prime minister while he's falling asleep at events all over the place. You know what I'm saying? But I think that's my working theory as to why these guys will not release their hold.
No, power is intoxicating. Power is intoxicating. And unfortunately, historically, we've never given a chance to young people to see what they can do.
We've always dismissed our younger Bahamians. Mm-hmm. And as you can see with we definitely aren't the first organization to come out of all of this. There are so many other organizations that we speak with, mm-hmm, that we've already heard about. And the only thing that we need to do now is listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because where are we gonna go from here if we're listening to a prime minister that's in his late 60s?
Mm-hmm.
Where do we go from there?
There have been instances where they've tried to empower younger people in terms of leadership, in terms of politics. I'm looking at like a Charlie Maynard, God rest the dead, a Fenton Niemore, a Shavargo Lang, also God rest the dead, Fenton Niemore. Wow, that's two people from that cabinet who died young. Mm-hmm. I just realized that. That just hit me. But I think that there have been instances where we've tried to empower people. And to me, that's a good model.
Wait, have we empowered them or are they being groomed? Because there's a distinct difference.
The younger people in
our generation right now, Generation Z for me, we are very radical. We're very angry, naturally.
Right.
Emotion.
I was going to give up on you guys with the fourth
with the Tide Pods.
Yeah, but I see your energy.
Well, we're
coming
around the bend, right, stronger than ever after those Tide Pods. We filtered out the weak, and now, you know, here we are.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So I'm thinking, and I was speaking to a group of students the other day, and I said this on air, you know, look, it's up to you guys now, right? You gotta do this now. You know what I mean? Like, people over 40. Did I turn you down by mistake?
I think it's off.
It's off. I think I just. Where are you here? Anyway, people over 40, they're now. I've kind of given up on them, right? I've kind of given up that they have the energy, the foresight to really make radical shifts in what's going on, because we've been so comfortable for so long. But people of your generation, right? You got the energy and you got the angst to go ahead and make radical shifts. Like Lyndon Pinlan, he was 36 when he became prime minister, and he made radical shifts.
Love that.
You know what I mean? Love him, hate him. But he was like, we're going to make radical shifts at breakneck speed, right? But because he was young and he had the energy, A.D. Hanna, right, and Carlton Francis, and all these guys. Nowadays, these guys don't have no energy left. You know, so I don't see the vision. I don't see the foresight. I don't see it's a let's make another transformative leap.
And you know what's sad about it? It's the funny thing is, just as Denzel said, we're not the first organization or group to even talk about this. So we even have scholars like, let's say, Angela Davis, for example, who, like in the States, they're using her platform and the scholarly articles and the books she's written to make change. So for years, for decades, before we were even born, there were scholars and Bahamian activists who were saying, look, these problems are here. It doesn't take like 50 people to do this, just enact it and things will be better. And we're still at the same place. And at the same time, It isn't new. Our anger isn't new. It's not. We're not copying the United States. We're not emulating them. There's protests around the world. There are organizations around the world. Young people are fighting for their rights. They're fighting for police reform because around the world, police systems and criminal justice systems are naturally discriminatory. And I even had to contact my friend who works at the he worked at the museum here, and he told me the history of our police force, mm-hmm. because I wanted to double check and see if, like, I know we're a majority black country, so I said, like, you know what, let me give the benefit of the doubt, see if, you know, we have a racist police system, and boom, we do. The British Army occupied the Bahamas until about 1890. They were basically here to protect against slave uprisings. So number one, then slavery went away, but then they were here to protect white people from black people by and large. Then the British founded the police force, okay? And then they were very uncomfortable with the idea of black Bahamians policing themselves. So what did they do? They wanted Sikhs. Indian ethnic group, mostly Punjabi people, and that is a religion, and they make up a huge chunk right now of, like, the Indian military and police. That is a huge thing in their culture. They're known as warriors, and but they were too expensive to get them over here, so they settled for Bajan people. So from about 1890 until the 50s, people are still alive from the 50s. That is not a huge leap. There was a policy that there weren't too many Bahamians allowed to join the police force. And he said, this is a part of a lecture I did a long time ago. The police force was made up of Bajans on the ground level being commanded by British, just like in the army, how they didn't allow black people to hold commissions. So here we are, years later, the same system is still in place. People are still being tortured, by the way, because I did speak to family members about and people I know and tried to get opinions about the police force. And I found out, interestingly enough, I don't think most Bahamians know this, but confessions are definitely coerced through beating. I've heard some horror stories actually about people being like waterboarded, people
well
being electrocuted on their genitals and things like that. So,
right. Like,
honestly, this is who we are. This is our culture.
Right. And okay. the thing I like about it, about your energy, is that you're a generation that has been raised to not accept certain things that we would just overlook.
I will say that. Kudos.
And you're tired of being told, it's okay, let's overlook it, let's just accept it for what it is, by people who have been comfortable because they didn't have to reconcile with it.
It's always easy for the oppressed. Honestly, the equality seems like privilege. Equality seems like oppression, to the oppressed, to the oppressors. So people who are wealthy and white, the wealthy white expatriates might listen to what we're saying. They might read our statement and think, oh my God, like, they are coming for my spot. Like, these Negroes, they're trying to ruin my life and take away all of my money and kick me out of here. But no, we just want equality. We want the same access to opportunities. We want the minimum wage to be raised because we don't want the middle class and poor class, the lower class, to be burdened as they have been for decades. I think it's very easy to sit here, for example, and even talk about these issues. I'm not making minimum wage. I need to fight for people to make a better wage, mm-hmm. because I have the voice to do so. And even if you're not a part of, like, a group of persons like myself, for example, and Denzel, who are here speaking, there are so many things you can do. You can read up on economic disparity. You can read up on our history. Even in terms of education, when I was in high school, for example, we learned that Americans had it the worst in terms of slavery. So we had to write essays on why Bahamian slaves were treated better, and then by extension, why they were happier.
Right.
And then I found out from one of our historians in our group that there was a lady named Poor Black Kate who mm-hmm. had pepper in her eyes, and they had her, like, they whipped her in public mm-hmm. and things like that. This is crazy. We don't even learn about Collins Wall, which is still here, mm-hmm. and the segregation of our own island.
Correct.
So I'm just trying to wonder where the divide is. You know how privileged you have to be complacent with a system that literally disenfranchises your own family and people?
Right.
That is weird.
Well, I said this to the group of young people I was talking to. All that we've left you with, and I'm not an old guy, right? But I'm older. So, but all that we have left for you to deal with, it's not fair. But you got to deal with it because it's the right thing to do.
It is.
Right? It's the right thing to do to end all this inequality, all this discrimination.
It doesn't take anything off of you to care about other people.
You got to do it. It's the right thing to do. And it's not you guys achieving your dreams don't have to come, I think Barack Obama says, at the expense of
others.
Others, the dreams of others. You know what I mean? Yeah,
they don't have to be mutually exclusive.
If we work together, right. We can get it all done together. Like, for instance, sometimes you do the right, like you were talking about, you don't make minimum wage, but I'm fighting for people to make better wages. Because and you could just be selfish and be self-centered.
But that doesn't make any sense.
Like, I could come on here and just talk in all these elitist terms and be perfectly comfortable because I have a good job and all stuff like that. But I fight for everybody, right? Because it's the right thing to do.
It is.
You know?
I think it's important to talk about the CDU as well because there is a huge problem with our criminal justice system in the country.
Yeah. We need criminal justice reform and we need police reform. And at least Paul Rolle, the commissioner of police, has acknowledged that policing must change.
See, but that doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. You, as the commissioner, have the power to do that, so I'm not. I don't want any happy duty kumbaya stuff.
Then bring the plan to
do the work. Right. You're literally being paid this by us.
That seems extremely performative.
It is.
Because if he's the commissioner, then if that's something that has to be changed,
go do it. Right?
Then
just
go
do it.
Go do it.
Right, go do it. Yeah, but I mean, I like that he's acknowledging that there's issues. So
how many years have you been in the police force to actually get to a place of being the commissioner
he's
of police?
He's been there his whole adult life.
Exactly.
I haven't. I work in law and compliance. I haven't been working in law in a very long time. I've been working for two and a half years now, and I spent a very brief time interning at a private law firm. And the very brief time I spent at the CDU, you could see very, very, very obviously that that's an entire system that needs to be entirely
overhauled. Yeah, totally. Right. Absolutely.
And fix our police budget. We have like a whole list of demands. So if you're in government and you're listening, that would be cool. So could you please defund the police budget? They don't need those new cars and Dodge Chargers, okay, when we only have, how much did we have at the beginning of the pandemic? 40 beds, 30-something beds. The ventilators, we don't care about our junior doctors. We just fired them after we just took a very performative photo with the recent junior doctors who are not doctors. So
Interesting.
Thank you so much. Wow, you shouldn't have.
So tell people how they can, we only have a couple minutes left. Tell people how they can reach out to you guys if they want to support what you're doing.
Okay, so we have our personal pages, Denzel Bazard. My name is Leah Adjigal. But we will have our group pages up over the weekend, hopefully in time for Independence. It is really important that we show solidarity. We start a dialogue and we hear the voices of the people who have been disenfranchised for so long in this country so that we can make it better.
Absolutely. Well, thank you.
Thank
Leah.
You.
Hajigal and Denzel Bazard, we're going to seek to have your statement published in the newspaper.
Ooh,
and we're going to continue to support young people, and hopefully you guys will be the change that we could not be, right? And we're going to leave the Bahamas in your hands because that is what this is all about. It's not about holding and grasping on to everything you can get until the day you die. It's about making space for everybody who's Bahamian to lift the whole country up.
Also, I'm 21, so I have at least 60 more years of complaining about the system. So if you don't want to give us charge, we're just going to keep talking and talking
keep
and talking.
Keep agitating, right.
So please expect me.
Us. You're going to take it over. I'm gonna help tear it all down and you'll take it over.
Period.
And then you'll go from there.
Thank you.
That's going to do for the show today. You guys have a great Independence Day weekend. I know it's rough. I know you don't get to do all that you want to do, but you have life, you're a Bahamian, and this will not last forever. Have a happy Independence Weekend, Bahamas.